Sup, nerds? Welcome to Powerful, a power metal podcast. This is Stella. I clearly haven't been here because these guys record too fucking late, but I'm here today, and I'm here with a whole circle of people. There's a lot of people in this room. I've got Andrew Biscuit.
Hi. Hello.
There's Cliff.
Hello.
And there's Brett.
Yeah!
Yeah! And there's Kyle, our only responsible person here.
I'm doing lots of shilling this weekend, guys.
Sophia.
Hi.
John.
Hello.
And Danny Rand, Immortal Iron Fist.
Subanashi.
Fuck yeah.
He's a Wu assassin now.
He's a Wu assassin as well.
Yeah, we've moved on from the Iron Fist.
And please, I've been shilling equally as well.
We've been making Wu assassin memes all night. Five singers in Mayan, Wu singers.
You're a day late essence. There. We're talking about Mayan yesterday.
I am late, but today we are talking about day three.
How many bands were there today? Were there Woo bands?
No. Wait, how many bands were there?
There were six.
Plus one. There were six.
Woo plus one. These 1:30 a.m. podcasts are the best.
Yeah. Woo plus one bands. All right, so we open today with our pals from Paladin.
Paladin.
A.E. So, what do you guys have to say about Paladin's set today?
I think Paladin was the most heartwarming of the sets, the most wholesome.
It was fun, yes.
No fun allowed.
Yo, no, Paladin no. Fucking slayed, dude.
I can definitely tell
they shredded like harder than anyone today.
Yeah.
By far.
They wore the anime shirts.
Yes.
Two, they wore the anime shirts.
They basically use, was it Sue's special guitar?
Yeah, they knocked
the
out,
ESP
they pulled out the double ESPs for their Big Galnerius influence song.
They did a lot of guitar swapping throughout this whole set.
I know.
Kind of slowed things down.
How many guitars were there? I think I count like
three.
Seven?
I think they each had three.
Three each.
Yeah.
They each
had three.
Okay. Yeah.
Which isn't absurd.
But when they like,
it's like a normal amount of guitars.
Serve them so much.
I mean, I don't know.
There's only a certain amount of guitars one can go through the course of an evening.
Maybe this is like
on the whole
appeasing their sponsors.
Three is a perfectly average number of guitars.
Maybe they're like appeasing their sponsors or something.
I think it might make sense because they're actually from Atlanta, right? So they probably didn't have to transport as much.
Oh yeah, they can just drive all their stuff over.
They just put in the van. They don't gotta check it on.
Yeah,
Like
I assume they're all tuned differently or something. Or have, like, different pickups or something. I don't know.
Guitars work. I'll assume that's right.
I honestly think they might... I was not paying attention to how each of the songs were. I'm not familiar with the source material, but it is possible that they might have each been different tunings, different drop tunings.
Like, that's...
That would make sense.
I think that's the entire intent to having multiple guitars with you, is so that you can swap tunings on the fly.
Yeah, I think the crowd really responded well to Paladin. You know, these were, like, the last-minute local addition, but... Lots of hype behind these guys. Crowd,
yeah, I think a lot of people in the community already knew them because they're like local, like kids.
Today.
Yeah, there were so many Pally shirts, and
they got the crowd singing along to Carpe Diem at the end.
Whoa.
They acknowledge that Whoa is a power metal staple, which is very, very true.
Yeah, Taylor is kind of adorable on the mic. He's like kind of. I don't know.
He's awkward.
He's the awkward, soft-spoken guy.
Yeah.
He plays it off so well. He's, like, so chill.
The bassist, Andy, I think his name is.
He's very charismatic. He gave a great crowd-hype
like,
speech.
While Taylor and Alex are, like, swapping guitars and drinking water, they have the bassist, Andy, just go and talk shit. That's their banter section.
Yeah.
They need to play that up more, I think.
Yeah, and I think they exceeded expectations, too. I think they're the... Like you said, the last minute fill-in.
Oh, I was so stoked
when
they got filled in.
They were much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be...
Who they filling for?
Much more
Windrose.
Excited. Yeah, Windrose.
I much preferred Paladin to Windrose.
Nah, I prefer Windrose. After this performance, I don't know. I'd have to hear Windrose. Because initially, I'm like, I clearly want Windrose. After this performance, I'm like, that was really great. So, you know what? They impressed me.
I feel like this performance is going to be really good for their career. Like,
their
I don't know what they're doing with their DVD, but I hope that Galnerius gets to watch
it. Yeah, they filmed the entire set tonight, which is cool.
Hopefully they put all of it out.
They played a Lost Horizon cover, which lots of people are asking about.
Yeah, so this was like the coolest moment. So their album isn't long enough to fill a whole set. So
only have one album.
They have one album.
And it's really short.
So,
and they didn't even play the whole thing.
So I was like a gimmick, and it was the best gimmick I've ever seen. They threw inflatable swords out at the audience. So they all held up their swords while they played a cover of Perfect Warrior by Lost Horizon. And it was amazing.
It was amazing. Everybody, like, knew the chorus, and everyone was, like, waving their plastic swords in the air, like true
the
plastic
big,
sword
like the
warriors.
Big whoa to start Perfect Warrior.
Andrew had a sword.
I've got a sword.
Andrew had
You're
a sword.
Not
Andrew has two swords.
Double sword?
You are now
no,
a wuss.
I only have one.
Yep.
One is Neb's.
What about... Oh.
I'm going to be getting my sword signed tomorrow, as well as my CD that I purchased, because I hadn't gotten around to buying
signed?
One yet.
A signed sword. That you don't get that too often.
No.
Though.
Yeah. That's very special.
That's full merch.
It was like the first band of the
it's
day.
It's historic.
And they had a mosh pit during their last song for Carpe Diem.
They had a mosh pit? I didn't see them because I was so up in front.
I heard
I mean,
it was
which is not
pit.
A problem.
I, heard
I
was,
like being up in front. But
I heard it was the best pit all festival so far.
Really?
Like over Insomnium.
Oh, okay. We can have a pit review for
yeah.
later in
so
this
So, Andrew,
cast.
What's your definition of a good pit?
Oh, yeah. Tell us the characteristics of a
so
good pit.
So, it can't be too big for the amount of people in the pit. Because a lot of times you'll get a pit that's far too large surface area wise for the amount of people in it. So now you've got like 6 people that have to run 20 feet across
Swing
the pit to run into someone. That's absurd. The
that's
pit needs to be
running.
Smaller.
You need to have like a certain collisions per
intensity. Yeah, there needs to be a collision density.
How
like
important
density.
Is symmetry of the pits?
Doesn't matter. But
don't
what
matter.
You do need,
okay.
the most important part of a pit, other than the collision density, is you need willing participants to ring the pit to shove people back in.
That is important.
Otherwise, you're not going to control the chaos.
Keep the momentum going.
You
got to
keep
direction.
The chaos controlled. Otherwise, it'll spill into the rest of the crowd. People will get angry.
Well,
chaos.
You heard it,
or
you
people
heard
will
here.
Get hurt because people get shoved and don't have someone to shove them back.
Pit
keep
physics.
Them upright.
So Paladin
knew the second
right,
law.
I think
mm-hmm.
I was in the front. I don't know.
Yeah.
The
that's just what I heard.
They opened with the Zelda song, which I loved.
Awakening?
Yeah, Awakening. They also mentioned that they did their Chrono Trigger song, try to get those
Black Omen.
Black Omen.
And not only did they open with the Zelda song, Awakening, they also walked on with like a Zelda medley.
Yeah, I love
sweet.
That. I was so stoked when I heard Zelda music as well.
I asked our local friend, Connor, if they normally do that, and that is not the norm. They probably did that because it's fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And they were recording a video.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, because we mentioned the Lost Horizon cover on social media and people were asking, so I'm really hoping they post that.
Tons of people are asking.
Oh my god, I want to see the recordings.
I have like
a
shitty recording
cool.
of it, but I want like the proper.
Yeah, I want the proper like four, or there's like three cameras.
So,
there was like one floating one.
Yeah, hopefully
and, like,
they put it out.
Fixed camera and like a zoom in guy.
I talked to Taylor about it and I'm like, hey man, lots of people want this Lost Horizon cover. And he didn't really expect everyone to want this Lost Horizon cover. He seemed kind of taken aback by everyone wanting it
They're
so much.
They're so, like, adorably,
it's
like...
It's, like, a cool thing.
Yeah,
no one ever covers Lost Horizon.
They should.
Adorable.
Right, Brett?
Nah, I'm going to pass on those.
Yeah. They're just adorable nerds. I like that we're at eye level. When I talk to Taylor, we're, like...
Because they're short.
Yeah, they're so short. I love
you
it.
You feel respected.
I feel
respected.
They're
being
respected.
Adorable nerds, that's for sure.
They both
yeah,
wear
they're
small
adorable
shirts.
Nerds. Yeah. Small shirts. We can swap shirts.
Dude, they ran
shirts.
Out of large shirts at the merch booth today.
There'll be more tomorrow.
There's going to be more
but they,
tomorrow,
they say
but it just
they're
shows
more.
They're a lot of hype around
yeah,
Paladin.
There is
a
so
yeah.
much support for them. So, shout-outs to Paladin. I feel like this is a...
They're going places.
This is a... Prop Power is going to do a lot of good things for them.
I'm going to get a bunch of shit for this, but I think Paladin was my favorite set today.
I agree.
No one is giving you any shit. People are agreeing with you.
Okay.
It was a very
I'm a little down that.
I'll give you shit for that.
I just okay. assumed people were going to give me shit for it because Seventh Wonder played today.
Okay, well, we'll talk
yeah,
about
fine.
That later,
we'll
maybe. Okay, so any other last words on our Paladin pals?
On the Pally pals?
Pally pals?
Shu recognizes them.
Sue recognizes
oh yeah just one is from Taylor's Facebook or somebody's social media
yeah
yes
he was like oh my god we didn't even have to introduce ourselves Sue already knew us and like said hi to us
he's like Paladin I know you and then apparently they like hugged him or something I don't
Aww.
Know
like if I had that happen to me and I was a musician
like,
I
would
just, have held it together
I would just
point.
Like die.
No yeah.
yeah
that would have been like the happiest moment of my life everything is downhill from that point
yeah I'm sure they're like
but hopefully it's not
here.
Hopefully everything is downhill in the good way instead of the bad way from this
yeah.
point.
All right.
It's a bad metaphor. Because
that's terrible. And
this
is when we silence Andrew and we move on.
Yep.
So we love
yeah.
you, Paladin.
Yeah,
TLDR,
Paladin
was sick.
We hope to see you
soon in future shows.
TLDR,
hopefully we get to go
Paladin
to Japan soon.
Yeah, and they'll get to play other festivals in the U.S. and
no,
internationally.
They're
all
playing
right.
a festival in November in Carolina.
North Carolina, Rapid Fire.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's it for Paladin.
Okay, that's it for Paladin. Next band that played today was Subsignal.
Subsignal.
Okay. Quick question.
Yes.
Who actually sat through Subsignal?
I watched like half of it.
I left. I went to the gym.
I was looking for Tommy at the gym. He was not there.
He wasn't there. I think he was
at the signing session.
Oh.
Brett, were you there?
Nope.
Cliff?
Nope.
All right,
I listened to Subsignal when I was at the gym 2 days ago, though.
Okay, so Subsignal, I was there for part of it. They're like a proggy, like, melodic rock band. They were fine.
They were fine.
I sat in the back and did social media. Posted a lot of Paladin stuff. I enjoyed the half hour or so that I listened to them. They were a good kind of breather band because I was already so exhausted from the night before from Galnerius. Went hard again for Paladin. Had to chill. I'm sorry. That's all I have to say about Subsignal. They're not very metal. Not really what I was looking for, but they worked for my chill time.
They were actually not bad. I listened to two tracks of theirs.
People were into it. Like, they're getting a lot of crowd support.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people like with their shirts and albums. So what did I listen to? I listened to some stuff from their album La Muerta,
the Dead,
the Bells of Lioness, and La Muerta title track. I listened to it when I was at the gym, but I totally burned out after Paladin because I can't fucking stand or walk. And Joey's not allowed to eat jerky because we're recording.
We're gonna hear the shit out of that.
Okay, just open your jerky. We'll just embrace the noise.
Or he's not gonna cut it. He didn't cut the thing I told him to cut.
Who cares?
No worries.
Matter.
It's all good. Okay, so that's it for Subsignal from you guys.
Alright, Barren Earth's next?
Yeah, let's talk about Barren Earth. So
during Barren
Earth,
well,
Barren
I was
Earth?
In line for the Seventh Wonder signing.
Thank you for being with me there, by the way.
I was waiting with Sophia.
we got to listen to a little bit.
We got to listen. So they're like proggy death metal. I wasn't really in the mood for death metal. I was in the mood for talking to Tommy and giving him a business card and probably weirding him the fuck out. So Tommy, when you inevitably listen to this, because I know you will.
Oh my god.
Sorry for weirding you the fuck out.
What'd you do, man?
I thanked him. I told him we have a podcast, gave him a business card, told him if he wants to talk, we're down to talk.
Better than what I did when I met him.
That's pretty good. What did you do?
Nope.
He has to. He brought it up.
That sounds like a Jesus story.
No, he has to. He brought it up. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Nope.
Sophia and I, we went to go see Dragon Quivers and Camelot play at the, what was it, the Blue... It was at...
The House of Blues.
The House of Blues, and we got to go meet Camelot. I told them they were my second favorite band behind Dragon Force.
Second favorite band.
Nice.
Wow.
Mark, keep in mind
this
was
the opening for that.
This was 4 years ago.
That sounds like something I'd do.
Wow, what a jerk. You're my second favorite band.
That's a compliment.
That's up
there. They're gonna be like, wait, who the fuck is their first favorite band?
Yeah, it's the band they're opening for.
It's still a compliment.
What if it's their
favorite
band?
Than everyone except for one band.
That's kind of a weird compliment.
If I'm not mistaken, Dragon Force is opening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dragon Force. I got to meet Chris Mark Luke.
Not now.
Okay.
So Barren Earth. How about
so before
those guys?
We incite a divorce here, let's talk about Barren Earth.
They sounded okay from the hallway.
So was anyone inside beside Cliff and I?
Were you there? Were you
yeah.
There?
Yes.
Oh,
why
aren't
you talking, man? What are you doing?
Waiting for an opening. Waiting for an opening.
Okay.
Your opening.
Now's your chance.
Barren Earth actually ended up opening with Further Down, which is the song I was most expecting or hoping for, and lo and behold.
Hey, there you go.
First track. Fantastic. Gonna be honest, I didn't know what they looked like, so when they stepped out, it's not what I was expecting. But
Were they not just like metal dudes?
They look pretty metal, but I don't know. The style of music that they chose doesn't seem to match the appearance. I think that if they played power metal instead of just, you know, grimdark melodeath, I guess they're a little bit more mellow later, but they did a really good job there. I was surprised when they, late in the show, closed with a, was it Flicker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the more impressive songs too, but that one I think I only listened to once, but after hearing it I'm like, oh, I really need to revisit it because I think I only touched their, was that, is that the debut? I can't. It's the Flickers on the debut. Heard it once, and I'm like, I guess I was just trying to get through there because I could listen to it, I guess, further down again. But ultimately, that one was good. Flicker was good. And I think they had a bit of a lull in some of their songwriting. And I'm not sure I was really fond of some of their banter about, like, oh, no, we haven't practiced in a fifth. We're not practiced. We haven't had a, what was it?
Live? So it seemed as if they were trying to lower expectations somewhat because they made a point of the fact that they hadn't played a show in 15 months.
Was it like self-deprecating humor or?
I think that's what he was attempting, but it didn't come across as well.
That happens.
Language barrier?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
He might have just been a dick.
It's entirely possible.
That can happen too.
Regardless of that, it didn't generally change the. I think it changed the energy of the banter, but not necessarily the songs, which I think were still well put together, and I think they actually performed it quite well.
Yes.
How's he on your vocalist power ranking? Oh, no, it's Harsh Vocals.
Harsh Vocals.
Right, we'll get to that.
Even though I did plenty of clean, we'll get to that later.
Okay.
We can end with that.
We'll end with that. Your status on your vocalist of the week. All right, so any other comments on Barren Earth?
I should probably, be a nice person, listen to them later.
They have good studio stuff. I really enjoy their studio albums.
Fair enough.
It's very moody, proggy death.
Further Down. It's an amazing song.
Further Down. You hear it here first.
Something to listen to when you're chilling at home.
Chilling at home?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah, this festival is so long. It's just really hard to catch everything. Okay, so did anyone catch Psychotic Waltz this evening?
I was told...
Heard a lot of good things about them.
I was told they would be very good. And I was like, shit, maybe I should catch that. But then I'm like, I need to lay down and drink and eat food.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, I think all of us were walking back from the Airbnb right as Psychotic Waltz ended.
Ben saw them and said they were okay.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. Well, thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
I'm sure they were okay or better.
We were walking up to the venue and some other group was leaving the venue right after Psychotic Waltz and they gave a shit for not seeing Psychotic Waltz.
I'm like, bro, we have to eat and drink.
But that means maybe it was good.
Maybe.
For the people who wanted to watch Psychotic Waltz.
Or maybe it's just another prog band that I don't care about.
Could be.
Ultra prog. Okay. Well, you know what's not ultra prog? Ordinogan,
arena metal is fuck.
Arena metal, Ordinogan.
Tempo.
So what was their change
tempo.
In their lineup?
So they, were you going to say something important?
No, I was just going to disagree with Larry's mid-tempo beat.
Okay.
Well, let's wait for that.
Okay, that'll be later in the conversation. But Ordinogan had some lineup changes because
some difficulties.
Yeah, their guitarist... couldn't make it.
Yeah, so the guitarist had a thing, so they had, the singer step up and do guitar, but then, the bassist had to, switch around, and I guess it was a whole...
The bassist was playing guitar.
The lighting guy was playing bass.
Yeah.
She actually did a pretty fucking good job.
He was also playing bass, though, so who knows?
So they learned their different parts in, 12 hours or something, is what they said.
Legitimately does play guitar, so I don't think he really had to learn much, but the other guys definitely had to step up.
Yeah, so props to them for making it work on such short notice with the complications. What did you guys think overall of Ordinogan?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
We got really liked it. I really liked it, too.
I fell asleep for the first three songs, and then
no one asked you.
I thought they did a really good job. I did notice that Sebastian took a very safe route to singing.
He's got the crowd to do everything for him.
Yeah, there's a song in particular, and I wish I remembered the name, but he tried it very early. It's a Come With Me to the Other Side.
He does it to the intro.
In a full octave. He actually doesn't change anything. And then during the chorus, he's like, I'm not going to try this except for one chorus. He's like, I'm going to, because it's a little high for him. And it's not even that high. Actually, the intro is actually supposed to be done by a woman.
Come With Me is a duet with somebody else.
So, but a lot of time, he's like, I'm going to... They layer it with multiple octaves. He's like, I'm going to do the lower octave. I'm going to do the harmony and other stuff. He took always the safe route the whole time. And I think I appreciate more daring approach to just sing it the way it's supposed to be. So I had to take back there. But it was still good because he didn't try to do the high part and fuck it up. That's probably
true.
Worse.
Yeah, I feel like that was a good decision. It might be because he was he was just vocalist for the previous show, so he hasn't played guitar and vocals on stage in a while.
Yeah, because also if it was sometimes some guys, it's hard for them, from what I've heard, from the switch between, especially since his pitch as a guy is more mid versus being upper, more baritone versus being a tenor, to switch to that upper female octave might have been too much of a jump for.
Yeah, and jumping between your chest and head voices can be difficult. So if on the studio they're like, don't worry about the rest of the thing, just sing the high part of the chorus, and then we're going to say, cut. That's easier to do than just, all right, you're in the middle of a show.
And
now
you're like
jump
switching
up to,
back and forth
now
to the high
octave. Now go back down to the verse, because it's low.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm Gunman. If he's like, if he was trying to do the low verse and then jump to the top of it, I think that would just be probably a little too strained to do a
like,
standard set.
I am the...
Like going from like the I'll hunt you down to the... I can't do that.
Yeah, obviously, I can't.
I could do it under normal circumstances. You know I could, Brett.
Of course. Your voice is so
My voice,
low
as
deep.
Our listeners know, is so amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so high-pitched that I can't even imagine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But
well, the energy for the Ordo Nogan show was amazing. I think that was the biggest crowd I've seen all day.
Shout out to the...
Pirates.
The Mosh.
The Mosh Pit.
It was really fun to watch. Bill Mosh Pit for Orton Hogan. During We Are Pirates, they did the classic sit down and pretend to
sit
row.
Sit down
boat.
And row your pirate ship.
Like, Ailstorm had that last year. I've seen it at Ensiferum shows. It's a great time to see people fucking around on the ground.
It was a really fun pit to watch because
so
there was
much
the
fun.
Rowing.
Yeah.
There was like jumping in a circle.
Oh, there was the happy jump pit.
Dude, they had like a chorus line like kicking.
There was this motherfucker that kept showing up with a horse mask.
Yeah.
He had like a horse mask on, and then he would disappear, and then he would like bring it back out randomly.
Also, also have to mention the Captain Morgan cosplayer in the front.
Oh yeah, the pirate cosplay.
Yeah, he was there for Ailstorm last year.
He's number one pirate fan.
But it was definitely a fun pit to watch.
Yeah, and it's a fun show because Orton Hogan's whole thing is like they're catchy choruses with like lots of people singing it. So they
on the albums, they're all like group vocals.
I think to make up for that,
they just want the crowd to sing the choruses.
Yeah, for sure.
They cranked the reverb on the mic like way the hell up.
Yeah.
And it kind of pulled me out of it a couple times.
This isn't their first time, right?
No, we saw them in 2014.
I thought this was a debut.
No, we saw them in 2014 when Indian came out.
So how would you compare this to their previous?
I feel like they improved because back then I was just like, oh, they're kind of cool, I guess. Like, that was the first time I heard of Ordo Nogan.
It had been 5 years, so.
Yeah, it's been 5 years, and I think they really, like, kind of, they went full head in into that, you know, like, chant-heavy group
vocal
style.
They played
style.
One old song, which was, like, the most power metal song that they played.
Their encore. Yeah.
No,
it's the one from Vale. I don't remember.
The one from like their first
episode.
To New Shores of Sadness.
Yeah. Shores of Sadness. Their encore was from In the End.
That's things we believe in. Yeah, that's an old
something,
song.
Something, something, cold, dead, and gone. In the End is like...
Are we saying old, or like not most recent old?
In the End is like 2013 or something.
Yeah, it's like...
Come on, get your facts straight, bro.
I thought we were saying old is not the most recent album.
I was saying old.
Okay. There's ancient and then there's regular old.
Yeah, like there's Brett.
So Vale is ancient. In the End is regular old. But anyway, I thought they were pretty good. I don't know. I'm not like super into them, but I respect them.
Yeah, this was a show I was looking forward to because I'm like, wow, the crowd's going to really sing along a lot with this. And that's exactly what I
got. Yeah, I didn't realize how big they got. I basically,
because
I'm not really into that style of power metal, I guess.
Yeah,
but
I know you're not, but I think Gunmen did very well for them.
Yeah, no, that was great.
Yeah, they went from opener to.
Yeah, they went from like the first or second slot when we first saw them in 2014 to like
number five.
You know, second to last slot. You know, they even had an encore.
Yeah.
Well deserved. Great show.
It's a good encore song too.
Yeah.
I think that's their best song.
Things We Believe.
Cold, Dead, and Gone.
Yeah, they. So when I first heard that song, I thought they were saying Ordo Nogan, like the name of their band, because I'm like, ooh, the lyrics. Because he says we are.
We are. Cold, dead, and gone.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I know. It felt really weird to be like all happy shouting cold, dead, and gone.
It's
metal. Just like, what am I?
Yeah.
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 I think it's their best song. It's definitely my favorite song.
Well, I think I
didn't
like
Gunman very much, but I definitely like that album a lot.
They played the best song, Forlorn and Forsaken, off of that album. So that's good. Forsaken and Forlorn, whichever the order is.
Forlorn and Forsaken. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed doing finger guns on Gunman. We are
we were finger gunning each other,
and we were like rowing inappropriately and up in the stands. So
I shot
you know,
Brett a couple times.
He
didn't notice.
We just finger gunned each other. Yeah, show was fun for all, whether you're in the pit or not.
Me and Stella had a good time. I think
we put our sunglasses on and just like made faces the whole time.
During some of the slower parts, I was like going through my Atma Black library trying to find some new stuff. It was a good time.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Yes, I listened to the new Miguá album.
The new Miguá album.
I was like, I didn't want to talk about the new Miguá album while I was watching Order No God. Like, let's talk about that later. And then you said Migla, and I was like, what?
I said Miguá.
I don't know. I was trying to watch Order No God. Why are you talking about black metal albums to me? Even though... Anyway, so at this point, we are waiting for the Prog Power 21 video roster announcement.
Yay! Woo! So who is playing at days 3 and 4?
All right,
Sophia, go.
All right, so I have the list pulled up here, and for some of the bands, I had absolutely no fucking clue what they were. I actually went and I went and Googled them.
So who are we starting out with on Friday?
Shattered Skies.
Prague. Who is Shattered Skies?
All right, so I actually, they are a unsigned progressive metal band.
We're going to have a lot of progressive metal bands.
I don't know if they're signed or not. Again, I couldn't find that much. Apparently, there's also a game called Shattered Skies.
That sounds about right. Where are they from?
I mean,
UK, right?
No.
UK.
Ireland.
Wow. Okay. Well, you close enough.
Ireland and England. So
UK is inclusive.
No, UK does not include Ireland.
Oh, really?
Northern Ireland.
I am so bad at geography. Don't listen to me.
And then we got the whole Brexit thing. Don't worry about that.
Oh God, please. She was
in that
me.
General vicinity.
This is Ireland, comma England.
It's over there.
Okay.
I went and looked, and apparently a lot of people on the Facebook are very hyped about. Apparently, it's been something that Prog Power's been trying to get at for the show for a while.
Yeah, but who are they? What do they do?
They
play ultra prog.
They play the music.
The prog, and I'm still trying to find.
Well, hopefully it's good prog.
There was a very significant positive crowd reaction to that.
Yeah, you can kind of tell which ones people get hyped for with like the cheers.
Next up,
who's next?
Witherfall.
Witherfall.
Yeah,
this is a good one. This will be a cool one. An actual band with some oomph behind them, you know?
Yeah, it's like progressive power metal. We've liked a few of their albums.
So, Prog? Not Prog? Prog?
It's Prog Power.
It's Prog. Joseph Michael's
it's
probably one of the best.
It's more powerful than Seventh Wonder is.
Yeah. Seventh Wonder is not power metal, like, at all.
Michael's probably one of the better active singers today, so...
Joe Mike.
Is, generally, he's incredibly good. Obviously, is there earlier in the festival. It was amazing, so... We'll get to see them next year. Just as a different act. It'll be nice because we've got many good songs.
Yeah, it's nice to have the same people back with their multiple projects.
Obviously.
Okay. The next
this
band.
This is one that you said that you're familiar with? Eternal Tears of Sorrow?
Eternal Tears of Sorrow
that
from Finland.
Like a parody.
More prog.
No, it's like prog death metal. I used to listen to them like when I was a first year college student in like 2000 early 2000s.
Was this edgy Stella?
Huh?
Was this edgy Stella?
This is edgy Stella.
Like,
I didn't realize
Eternal Tears of Sorrow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were still around because I kind of like started listening to other stuff and I didn't know people still liked them, but I guess they do.
Apparently.
Question mark?
I just want to make fun of her name.
It's a cool name. Well, no, I think I wanted to listen to them because I thought their name was cool. But then again, I was like a really edgy like 19-year-old. So
we've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. All right. So yeah, looking forward to maybe I don't know revisiting Eternal Tears of Sorrow, seeing what they've been up to.
Nostalgic.
Yeah, nostalgia. Which is I guess the theme of this next year's Prog Power. It seems.
Nostalgic Prog? Project?
We'll
work on that one.
Yeah, we'll work on that one, or we won't, because that's really bad. Okay, so next band.
Night Flight Orchestra.
This is a cool one.
Yeah, I was actually kind of happy seeing them. I don't listen to that often, but...
So, prog or not prog?
They're prog.
Are you the prog or not prog?
Pretty much every band is prog now, dude.
Ultra prog.
It's no longer prog.
No, it's not prog or not prog. It's prog or ultra prog.
It's prog progger.
It's prog progger with a
prog or
splash
ultra
of prog.
Yeah.
Riffs.
Poggers,
splash of riffs
prog
is good. Progger. I like that. Okay.
It's
the
LaCroix. Yeah, so you know how
LaCroix
of
Power
Metal LaCroix is like a hint of lime. This is a hint of power.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is like White Claw, except with...
Except without the alcohol?
Which is just LaCroix.
No, with a lot of alcohol.
We're making
there's
a sound
of the
hammer right now. Because we can. All right, next band.
Next band! Jeff Scott Soto, and he's doing a tribute to Queen.
Oh yeah, so the dude from Sons of Apollo.
JSS.
He was really cool, Jeff Soto.
He's a really good singer.
The tribute
very
to
good, yeah.
Queen thing that was a little odd.
I'm not sure anyone asked for a tribute to Queen though.
Queen's
but people
right
were
now
singing
Queen,
along
Queen.
To Radio Gaga, and then like We Are the Champions. So I don't know. I feel like it would just
that,
be
okay.
Yeah. I guess you can't
it's
not
Queen.
Sing along
people
to
like
that.
People like Queen. People like good vocalists.
Yeah.
I see nothing
together
wrong with this.
Yeah,
I'm okay with this.
And he, based off his performance last year,
he was really good.
He's
this dude sat next to you, Andrew.
Yeah, I know.
Made you sing Van Halen.
I know. He's a very good singer. I said that. I don't know if I want a Queen tribute.
See,
at,
you don't like Queen?
At
you
my
hush your mouth,
Power Festival.
Sir.
No, that's a good point.
I would have rather have a power metal band get slotted in.
But I
want
to sing along to Queen.
Well, for like some people, like they do actually save up for this festival. So like,
yeah,
this is what they have to think about. It's like, is this
yeah
worth like my
that's
time
true
and investment?
Okay, that's what I'm thinking about for next year.
Yeah, it's like, do I want a power metal band or do I want to sing along to Queen?
Yeah. I want this as I go to Prog Power because it gets me power metal acts that I'm not going to otherwise see, and getting Jeff Scott Soto doing Queen tributes where he's touring anyway to come through.
So in a sense, you kind of make it sound like this is almost like a filler.
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know. It could also be maybe they're trying to get some USA. Guaranteed performances.
Because he is American, right?
Yeah.
I think they're trying to play it a lot safer.
Yeah.
Americans! Because they've got Witherfall as well.
American, yeah.
There's also the fact that Days 1 and 2 technically haven't been announced.
Yeah, Days 1 and 2 haven't been announced yet. At this point last year, like, Days 1 and 2 were already announced, right?
I think there are a hell of a lot of people that aren't the core Prog Power crowd that are incredibly hesitant about purchasing tickets at the moment.
Could be.
At the moment.
It might not sell out as quick this year. Probably won't.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm wondering when they're going to announce Day 1 and 2, though, because it's not in
the end. They said Power Plus was definitely a thing.
Not, they're not going to announce
too bad
it
I don't
until
really
it's
about
set
Power
in
Quest
stone.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. All right, yeah.
The last
headliner.
Headliner.
Conception.
Conception.
Yeah. I was there when Brett's wife went wild.
Oh yeah, she like lost her mind.
Yeah, and they actually started doing shows in Europe, doing throwbacks to some of their previous releases from Flow and a lot of stuff from Parallel Minds. So it'll be really nice for anyone outside of that area. They're not actually going too terribly far away from where they live. So for anyone who wants accessible con, which should be everyone, but it should give you access to that because it's nice they do a newer rendition of like Roll the Fire and other good stuff.
Yeah, I wonder
no
if they're, their set list now, they're going to mix some new and like classic tracks.
Yeah, and also they're crowdfunding a new album, so depending
oh,
on
wow
the timing of things.
Can,
yeah, which I've already thrown money at them.
Can
obviously
I be a negative answer though? Is that the con of today is not necessarily the con that was at his height back in the early 2000s.
And he's still better than 99.9% of people, though. So.
Not really.
Okay.
I, honestly, at this point, I actually, there are several sick modern singers that, compared to him now, I prefer. So, something to keep in mind.
Well, if you're a big Roy Khan fan, this is going to be a headliner you want to look out for.
I just want to remember yesterday when, I think it was Andrew, in this very room, said, not a chance in hell.
Yeah, dude, I didn't think it was going to happen.
Not
I do remember that.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
Okay, well, we should have
well,
placed bets and then make Andrew take, like, 3 shots or something, because
well,
you lose.
Call me Dr. Faustus, because they made a deal with the devil for that one.
Ooh,
Ay.
That's a Black Halo reference.
All right. So clever. Jawa might be lost.
Both of us.
You know Camelot, the singer?
Oh, I know Roy Khan.
Yeah, Roy Khan.
Really,
so,
but
so
the only question is...
Before Camelot... Conception is Ultra Prog.
I do recall, listeners of the podcast, we reviewed Conception's EP a number of months ago.
We didn't really like
it. And none of us liked it. We were like, oh yeah, it's good if you want to listen to Roy Khan, but otherwise it's kind of boring.
That's exactly what we thought. So maybe it'll be good live. I don't know.
We'll
I think
see.
It would be nice to see Roy Khan because like he
like
because
he quit music and then like came back. So
just like Michael Kiske.
Just
for
like
the same
Kiske.
Reasons.
Yeah, maybe he like got bored as a not musician.
He quit metal to go be religious for a bit and then he came back.
Go be religious. All right.
Metal is my religion.
It's the exact same thing that happened with Kiske.
All right.
It is.
So, just to recap, like, real quick for day three, it's Shattered Skies, Wither Fall, Eternal Tears of Sorrow, The Night Flight Orchestra, Jeff Scott Soto's Tribute to Queen, and then Conception.
So for those keeping track, that is six progs out of six.
I was keeping track.
Wither Fall is kind
of
power.
The prog or not prog guys
it's
keeping track.
Way more prog than.
All right. Next step.
Day four, go.
Day four. And this one's actually technically, it's symphonic power.
Yeah.
It's Arion, I think.
Not to be confused with Arion.
I don't know anything about this band.
This is actually, it's a much smaller band. I couldn't find all that much looking into it, and this was cursory 5 Google minute search, but this is apparently something that at least Reed from Amaranth has been involved with, so.
Doesn't FaZe like this band?
I've seen this name before, but
yes.
I haven't really listened to it.
I think it might be him that might have, because I thought the name looked familiar.
I basically ignore everything FaZe likes.
That's fair.
Hey!
I think he likes this band.
So,
that's everything I know about
not
it.
Is,
I hear
he's
it
not prog. Yeah, this one is not prog. This one is symphonic power metal.
Thank God.
Okay, next one. So,
you win,
not
prog. We have a scorekeeper here.
Yeah.
Prog versus not prog.
So right now we're at 1.5 power metal.
No, we're just at 1.
Yeah, we're at 1 not prog. Okay, go next one.
Okay, next one is Thank You Scientist.
So this should be like 3 prog
this
points.
This is a lot of prog.
This is prog.
This is ultra prog.
This is prog rock. It's fucking prog jazz rock.
Yeah, this is ultra prog.
That sounds super rushy. Prog jazz rock.
There's always good times in the festival to get lunch or something.
True.
Wow. I mean, that's very true. Like, I like went to the gym and like went to
Did
Chinese
you even
food.
Go to a festival today?
I went to Paladin and then I chilled out and listened to Cattle Decapitation at the gym. And then I had lunch at Chinese Buddha. Shout out to Chinese Buddha.
Chinese Buddha in Atlanta.
Yeah, in Atlanta. Great food. Open late. Secret vegetarian menu. Anywhere. Thank You Scientist.
What is a Thank You Scientist?
I haven't listened to much of it. They just autoplayed when I had my Caligula's horse playing. I would say
Seahorse.
Yeah, I would say it's for fans of like Seahorse and like Tesseract and other like prog metal bands and stuff. So yeah, check them out if you are progtastic. Okay, next.
Have you like Seahorse?
A little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Next up.
Seahorse can also be not heavy, but anyway, go.
And once I'm done saying the name of this, I am going to be very happy. Beast in Black!
Beast in Black!
Yes! Not power metal, though.
Beast in Bon Jovi. But they're not, also
not
prog.
Not
power metal.
Prog.
By the default, it goes to prog.
No, it doesn't. We've talked extensively about it on this podcast.
How many power metal songs do they have?
Like two.
One.
Like
two.
One or two.
Maybe three.
How many prog songs do they have?
Zero. So power
metal.
Not prog wins.
No, they're neither.
We don't have a pop section.
Yeah, well, but it's not prog. So it's only prog or not prog.
Okay.
So they're not prog.
They're not prog.
Power.
They're not power.
We are not prog. Yeah.
They're going to play like one power metal song.
They're probably not even going to play Beast in Black.
They play that one. I checked their
setlist. Do they?
Okay. Surprise. All right. Well, this is for fans of Bon Jovi and power metal.
Yeah. Sad rock.
Mostly Bon Jovi.
Mostly Bon Jovi.
Do note that this is not a festival exclusive. So expect a tour to be announced for North America in the next year.
I am pretty
Sketchy.
Stoked to finally see Beast in Black. I know we talk a lot of shit about them, but I think they're gonna be a very fun show.
If anyone saw Beast in Black on the announcement and said, "Oh shit, I gotta go see them. I'm going to the festival," hold your horses because there's probably a tour coming.
Oh, speaking of which, I would like to go back and add, Conception is a, the, Conception is an exclusive, so I just want to...
I imagine it was.
Yeah. That's an exclusive. All right, so Beast in Black, get hyped. Okay, next band.
All right, The Gathering.
The Gathering, another band that I didn't know was still around.
They were inactive until like 2016, 2017.
Yeah, I thought they disbanded in like the 2000s. Like, what?
They did, though, right?
So they disbanded because Annika, what's her face, left?
Yeah, Annika, who was like the star of the band, like, left. And then... They rebanded in 2017.
With a new singer, and I was briefly talking to one of the guys I know who was part of the power metal, the collaboration project. He actually said he prefers the stuff with a new singer. So.
Okay, well, that should be interesting. So if you want to revisit some bands that you all were into like in the past, I guess, check out The Gathering again. So this is Prague.
This is Prague?
Yeah, so 1 point for Prague.
No point
okay.
For Prague.
So right now we are 2 at Prague, 2 for not Prague.
Okay.
Okay, next.
You're going to need to pronounce this dude's name for me because I'm not that familiar with him.
Isan!
Thank you.
Isan!
Who is Isan?
Yeah. Isan is a singer of Emperor.
Prague or not Prague?
Prague.
Prague death.
Very right Prague. There. Yeah, well, yeah, Emperor is like a black metal band, and his solo project actually has some pretty awesome albums, and they are very prog.
Are
and
really...
he also does like guest vocals on a bunch of Leprous stuff.
Are they
stuff.
Prog black?
He's like related to Einar somehow, I forget, like by family.
Are they like black prog?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
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 People
yeah.
seem
Check
pretty excited
what,
about
what?
Isan.
I'm excited about Isan. It's like the only thing I'm excited about, except for the next
one. What other bands would you compare him to?
Check them out if you like Leprous and Emperor.
All right.
That's like really very closely related. Yeah.
Okay. And the final one.
Drumroll.
Oh, big boy headliner.
It took us a little bit to figure out which one it was. It's Rhapsody.
Wow.
The Turelli Leone Rhapsody.
Turelli Leone Rhapsody. We called
Leone
this one.
Rhapsody.
The good Rhapsody.
The
good,
demon,
call,
demon
call.
And angel DNA variety.
The new math. New math.
Right? New math resonates.
We were talking about this last night.
So we have scientists and DNAs.
Scientists
this
and
one of
DNA.
Our guesses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was
yeah.
one of our guesses for headliner. And I'm
who won?
I think it's closer to power than Prague.
It's closer to power than Prague.
This is...
That is power. I would call it power.
Yeah, but it's also not Prague.
I feel like all of the power bands...
I wouldn't call
like
it Prague. I just call it pretentious.
Yeah. Okay, it's pretentious.
It's pretentious.
I don't
pretentious
know where,
power.
Yeah, pretentious.
I feel like...
power.
If you were to put it into Prague or not Prague boxes, which
it's
one
not
would you
Prague.
Pick? Not Prague?
Yeah.
Are we 3 for 3?
3 for 3.
3 Prague's and
but,
3 not Prague's.
But there's a lot of asterisks.
Lot of
asterisks.
Yeah, there's a lot of asterisks
so,
in the not Prague.
So
Prague's.
In reality,
yeah.
we're 3 for 3.
With asterisks.
Which means we're 3 for 9.
With asterisks. Or
with asterisks. Which means there's only like 2 straight power bands.
Oh, actually, like Friday was all Prague.
Yeah,
and then Saturday
Prague.
Was 3
out
Prague
of,
and 3
out of the
Prague.
12 bands announced, only one is a straight up.
If you count
Power
Quest, they're Power. They have literally Power
Quest. Oh my god, who cares about
Power
Quest?
But it's not even the real day, because they're saying it might be in a smaller venue.
It will be in a smaller venue.
It's still going to be a real day. Like, it's still going to exist.
It's going to have less tickets, which is going to be weird.
Is this the first Rhapsody show in the US in god knows how long?
Like a decade? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first time Fabio
this one is
the
US
been?
Exclusive.
No,
yeah,
Fabio
is...
actually toured with Manowar and Holy Hell back in, I think, 2006.
Okay.
And
subbed for Camelot.
And, oh, yeah, subbed for Camelot.
Oh, yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Camelot sub.
So Fabio's been here a couple times.
So,
also, he
exclusive?
Wasn't here for
Angra. He's an
Angra.
Yeah.
Right
yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, Rhapsody.
The Angra tour.
Rhapsody.
Oh, Rhapsody. Just...
Sweetie,
I don't know if he was did he if he did a tour before.
Here's
then.
Our local Rhapsody expert. How many Rhapsodies are there right now?
Well, there's 2
like
right now.
Several.
Yeah, there's
two.
Only 2 active at the moment.
There's been like 5 or 6.
I think 5.
No.
Yeah, this is Rhapsody 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what we just?
All right, Turelli Leone Rhapsody, the demons and angel
amazing.
Variety DNA.
Yeah.
This is very exciting.
We were really really big on their debut.
Yeah, album. We love their I love their album. You guys do too.
It's dense. It's
it's
obese.
It's obese.
Album.
It's a transcendental experience. New math will resonate in your brain holes.
I hope they bring out a live saxophone for that one
song. Oh my god, for I Am?
They're not gonna do it.
Please.
No way in hell.
No way in hell, but that would be so cool.
There's so many lyrics on the album. How the fuck are they gonna do that live?
A lot of backing tracks, I guess. Yeah, you know what? There's so much orchestration and layers. I don't understand how this is gonna happen. But
do they play Ed Rhapsody songs?
It's all easy with new math.
They do play Ed Rhapsody songs.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna take what Luca does in his own free time, which is...
Well, they don't even...
This is just my theory. He just plays old Rhapsody, think of the good old days, and then asks Conti, hey, can you sing a bunch of Fabio shit? Because we're going to perform, and it's better than Nightly stuff. So if they don't play Emerald Sword, I'll be surprised.
They're playing like Knight Rider of Doom and Dawn of Victory and shit like that.
I think Glenn's going to force them, like, please do this for America.
For his big Prometheus tour, we're like, look at this, we've got this new thing. They closed with Emerald Sword.
What the heck? He's so nostalgic. Oh my god.
I'm glad we can at least get... Because I know he had that interview a while back where he's like, oh, I don't want to play Emerald Sword anymore. It's like, fuck you, Luca. You're going to play
Bish, you love playing Emerald Sword. I did not just call him Bish. That's kind of rhetorical. But rhetorical, anyway. Bish. All right, so what's up,
Sophia? All right, so I do want to ask you all this because I was thinking about this. If you weren't going to be coming here for the podcast, even if you were, as a regular listener, based off this lineup, would you go to the festival?
It would depend on where in the country I live.
I'm kind of struggling.
Yeah, it honestly depends where you live.
If I was within driving distance of Atlanta,
yeah,
I would
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. 100% I would go.
But because I have to get a $400 round trip to the West Coast, then I have to get a week-long Airbnb.
Yeah. It's an expensive festival.
It's $1,000 to see one band at this point.
I typically don't go to Prague Power every year. It's usually every other year thing for me. So we're just going to have to see.
100% in for me.
Yep.
You can drive. You're a lot closer than we are. He's like a day and a half drive.
I'm not flying.
It's a short flight for you.
Your flight is probably like half my price.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I think mine was like $230 when I bought mine.
Yeah. So if anyone is like driving distance to Atlanta, Georgia, y'all should go. It's a fun fest. Yeah.
I mean, we're probably not, and we're just like 3 hours away, so we're probably not going to go. It's not worth it.
I would probably go if I could get fucking plane tickets for $100, but that's impossible.
Yeah.
From Phoenix to Atlanta for $100, no way that's happening.
Hell, you can't do Nashville to Atlanta.
I would do 100 each way.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see if day one and two can have anything that'll sway the people on a cusp.
You mean power metal?
Yeah, hopefully it'll have some power metal because we are powerful, a power metal podcast, not a prog-tastic progcast.
Milton's the one that got Galnarius this year. And he said he's cooking some heavy books right now.
Unlucky Morpheus?
So...
Just kidding.
We'll see what he does.
You didn't hear anything.
If the biggest Japanese band couldn't sell it out, they're not going to bring a smaller Japanese band.
Let's see what Milton brings. He has good taste.
Well, if it's Unlucky Morpheus, that's the only thing that's going to change my mind.
Yeah, I think he's right now, there's like two bands I really want to see being Rhapsody and Beast in Black. And I don't think it's worth it.
You'll see
Beast in Black in LA or in San Francisco.
So this is TBD. All right, so let's move on to the final act of the night that we're gonna just talk about.
This was a
headliner of day three of Prog Power was Seventh Wonder from Sweden. I don't know if you know, everybody knows them at this point.
We've talked about Seventh Wonder.
Yeah, we've talked about them at length. But yeah, how was the show tonight?
I loved it.
This is their fourth time at Prog Power.
Is it third or fourth, I thought.
No, this is three.
Tommy said fourth.
This is the third.
I don't know. Three or four. Multiple Prog Power visits.
I think I remember it was three because someone had suggested that three should be a lifetime limit on Prog Power appearances.
Oh, you mean like not Evergrey?
Or could it be
not
four?
Not Evergrey. Who's done it nine times?
Jesus.
Wasn't we were salty
here
about that last
with,
night.
As Camelot?
Wait, what?
Wasn't he at Prog Power as Camelot one
with
year?
Camelot? I don't think Camelot's played Prog Power for a very long time.
Okay.
2005.
Because I could see that being the reason why he said four.
That was still when Khan was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, I looked it up today.
Yeah, he's the Roy Khan number one fan, so.
Number two.
His wife is the number one fan.
2005, the Prague Power, where Conception reunited.
Yep, 2005, Conception and Camelot were con.
That is crazy.
Oof, that's a lot of
What a hefty year.
So anyway, this performance.
Let's talk about Seventh Wonder.
It was really, really good. Tommy is an incredible front man. He just has such command of the crowd, and he just makes it look so effortless.
He has such command of, like, furniture. They brought these, stand thingies.
And they were like nine-inch tables.
High elevated platforms. He did like they were so high. Were like 2 feet tall. Yeah.
They weren't that tall. They were like 9 or 10 inches tall.
Yeah, they were very tall and they elevated him like way above the crowd. He was doing like box jumps up
these things. The most impressive thing about these tables was that they were like crazy non-slip. Tommy had like a running jump up onto one of them one time. And the box did not move a fucking inch.
And while he was crazy. Doing
impressive
that,
boxes.
Played some music.
Yes. Yeah, they played some really damn good music.
Played some really good music. And I remember how earlier I was talking to how Sebastian's like, I'm going to take the safe approach.
Oh, yeah. This is literally the opposite.
Tommy was like, every note that's hard, go for it all the way, no compromise, and nailed everyone.
Yeah, like, I was, it was hard to hear Tommy because the crowd was so fucking loud at the front. But even when I was paying attention, I'm like, he was hitting things, and I can't even fucking tell if people were hitting things. That's how good he was.
Yeah,
I was expecting him to maybe take a few, like, octave down stuff, but he didn't. He went for all of them.
He has the range, and he has the...
He has the power in his voice.
He's got the muscles to do it.
And I'm glad he left his magical invisible audio knob at home.
Oh my god, that's a Camelot thing.
Oh, speaking of that, I was kind of...
I
miss his cape.
This cape? His Camelot cape?
Yeah, his Camelot cape. It's
oh,
so
you
cute.
Miss his Camelot outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
His cool jacket.
It's his edgy Camelot outfit.
It's like a half cape.
His half cape. Okay, I guess we're going to have to see him again at Camelot, but anyway.
It's coming up.
So, the set list was kind of interesting.
They started with...
With the Everones.
Opening track of Tiara was a good one.
I was very happy with that. That was my
favorite. Yeah, I love that track as an opener. I think it works really well. And then he jumped right into Welcome to Mercy Falls.
I expected him to open with that one, but
You know, I thought they'd actually stick with some new stuff from Tiara. So
yeah, I thought this would be Tiara
nice,
heavy,
it was
but
nice
you know,
step back to Mercy Falls because I think that's actually a pretty
very
strong
varied
release.
Set list. I thought.
Yeah. They didn't really commit to any one particular album, did they?
Not really. I think it was like 3 songs max from an album.
Yeah, Drew, how many Tiara songs did he play?
Oh, there were 3 Tiara songs.
3 Tiara songs.
See, I don't really like most Seventh Wonder. It's not up my alley, really.
Yeah.
I love Tiara.
Alley Cat.
Hey, Alley Cat.
I don't like
that. Up your Alley Cat. Yeah, so I think maybe people forget that Seventh Wonder is not a Tommy showcase of vocals band. Seventh Wonder is an ultra prog band.
Like, I don't,
their focus is like bass solos and like keyboard
really.
Well,
I like bass solos and stuff, but I don't like most of Seventh Wonder. I think the music, not Tommy, I think the music can get all over the place at times.
That's the point.
Because
it's
ultra
prog.
Yeah, because it's ultra prog.
Like,
so that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
It's just a little too much for me.
It's
but
not
I
for
fucking,
everyone.
I fucking loved Tiara.
Because it's so poppy.
And I was disappointed that they didn't play more off of Tiara.
Yeah, something I think is
that was surprising
interesting though. On the ultra proggy part. I guess from some of my lessons of trying to go through their older stuff, I kind of missed some things. So when I was like paying, I guess, full attention live, I'm like, that's an amazing bass solo. I don't remember that. So it was nice to call attention to some of the more ignored aspects of power metal, like basses.
Yes.
Yeah, I know,
what?
Right? Yeah. So it was
a joke callback.
I know, right?
This is like a little thing that Tommy would do on stage is he would always interact with the guitarist and the keyboardist. And he, whenever they were about to do a solo, which was very frequent, he would point at them and the spotlight would go to them. So it does bring your attention.
And
to
he
it.
Like walks off stage sometimes. And so the Seventh Wonder really is about the instrumentals.
And Tommy.
Tommy.
It can be
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Because I was just thinking. So last year, Day 3 headlined with Sons of Apollo, which was like another prog instrument showcase.
Yeah.
So they did it again with Seventh Wonder.
Yeah, I thought tonight's was really cool. There was just like drums and keys only.
That was a cool section.
Yeah, doing
that
like
that was the montage from Rocky IV.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh shit! Well, here you go.
All right. Well, I'm glad we have a Rocky fan here.
We spent this whole episode bitching about too much Prague, and now here we are.
I am not bitching about too much Prague. This guy is bitching about too much.
This
Prague.
Is not bitching.
This is a good Prague band because they have.
I'm not
like,
bitching.
Fun.
I acknowledge
Whoa.
The fact that it's not for
Whoa.
Me.
No.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I can't say fun.
Yeah.
I know that. I know Andrew's big point was that. There was not enough stuff from Tiara. I actually think that's perfect that they weren't so focused so heavy on Tiara. I was worried that this would be another situation like with their last visit to Quad Power, was that it would just simply be a full album playthrough.
Yeah, because it would be kind of
yeah.
It would be kind of like expected. I don't know, like expected or like, oh, they're doing an album playthrough again.
I wasn't hoping
I
wasn't hoping for a full album playthrough. I was hoping for maybe 6 songs.
But the thing is, for people who are fans, like I am, of all their stuff, that's like not, you want them to go back and do some of the old stuff, which is why.
This was for fans of Seventh Wonder, not Andrew.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, speaking
I'm
of,
not complaining. You guys keep bringing it back to me.
Okay, we're gonna, this isn't about, we're just arguing
like
at this point.
But
we're
like,
just,
I completely, like, concede that this isn't for me.
Okay, children, babies. Back to Seventh Wonder. Back to Seventh Wonder. Okay. So, back to Seventh Wonder. They did a lot of like throwback songs with their older albums. They did Take the Sky.
Which one's that?
Yeah. They did Not an Angel.
Mm-hmm. That was
really good.
Yeah. That was a sick song. I haven't listened to that album before because I've only done
Waiting in the Wings. That's the album. So if you want to listen to it.
That one.
It's a really good album.
Yeah, super good. They did a lot of stuff from Great Escape. They did parts of the Great Escape itself, which I've never heard performed.
I was a little weirded out.
Wait,
they've been going on for a while. This is Great Escape.
Like,
just a little
piece of it.
I was like...
They start talking about Aniara.
Yeah. They start talking... It's the one where it goes, shine your light, something, something, words are hard in this song.
Dude,
speaking of words in songs, the crowd knew like fucking everything.
Yeah, it's weird because like I honestly haven't listened to Seventh Wonder like for a few years now, but all the words are like fucking ingrained in my brain because I listened to it so much like a few years ago.
Yeah, so like I should.
So it's like riding a bike. You just don't forget.
I guess so. I knew parts of it.
Crazy.
I knew Tiara's.
I was like, I didn't even know I knew the chorus to Hide and Seek until it played, and I was like, oh, I know about the fire. I'm like, how do I fucking know that?
Dude, the fire.
This is like useless shit flowing around in my brain.
I didn't remember.
Is that useless?
I didn't think I remembered the lyrics to Alley Cat, and I was just like,
baby.
Yeah, they hear the baby part a lot.
Yeah, when do you get somebody making a power metal whatever crowd shout baby? You know.
But that's, I think, weird. That goes back into why you're saying Tommy is a really good showman.
Oh, he's an excellent showman.
He knows how to interact not only with his band, but also with the audience.
Yeah.
He knew that, like, because he knew the lyrics, he could get more audience engagement.
Yeah.
And that actually makes the show better.
My favorite moment in the entire set was at the end of the ballad, he let the crowd finish the song.
Right.
They all knew the lyrics, sang it.
Oh, yeah,
that
Tears.
Was amazing.
Yeah, he did Tears for a Father.
He just stood there and basked in it, and you could tell that was a hugely emotional
that
moment for him.
Honestly, nearly made me cry for some reason. I am also a very emotionally savvy person in general, but that ballad, everyone sang along, nearly made me cry.
Yeah, Tears for a Father is a beautiful song. In 2014, I was in the pit for that, so I didn't get to see how cool it looks when everyone's holding their phone up. It was like a sea of stars.
The pit for
Tears.
For that song, I was actually standing right in front of Matt Smith for Theocracy.
Was he singing it?
And I got to hear
it?
Him sing it beautifully.
Oh man, you had
it
a Matt.
It was the only voice I could hear.
You had a Matt Smith cover
beautiful.
Of
Dude,
Tears of
that,
Father.
You had a prime position. You
it was beautiful.
Damn.
So what I hear is we need to try and get Matt Smith to cover that song.
No,
Matt's
not saying that.
No, that was a beautiful moment between Andrew and Matt.
Yeah,
Smith.
It was a nice intimate moment that only I knew I was having. That sounds weird.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things was they ended with Exhale.
That's their closer. I looked at their set list for like the last couple things they did, and they closed with Exhale.
So I'll talk about this.
Which I love Exhale.
I love Exhale. Exhale's a great song, but I think because they didn't play enough of the Tiara theme, over the course of their set, it lacks some of the emotional tie-up kind of punch that it could have had.
Tiarsim isn't in that song, though.
It is. It is very prominent towards the end.
Yeah. Exhale is kind of almost like the wrap-up for the album.
Yeah.
So if you listen to the album, Exhale is really good.
Tiara's theme is very prominent in that song, and it wraps together all of their motifs of Tiara's theme throughout the album, ties it up in a nice little bow.
Mm.
I think if they had teased a couple, this is why I wanted more Tiara song, or more Tiara
for like
songs
the story
in it,
aspect of it.
So that the encore would have been a little bit more powerful if they had teased a couple more Tiara songs in interspersed that tease the crowd with more of the Tiara's theme.
Yeah, I really thought they would play more Tiara.
Especially with all the like five.
I mean,
Tiara
I love all the
like
ultra prog shit, but they didn't play Victorious.
This is also why
I
thought about why
more,
that they
Victorious.
Were. This is not their first time too. So this
you know, I mean, they might be just trying to impress like a prog power audience.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if this is not their first time.
Yeah.
They could have actually done more Tiara because like
that's
they
true.
Have done these songs in the past before.
Yeah, you're right. I don't
so
know.
So I feel like maybe it's because they were booked specifically for, hey, you did this in the past and we want you to do this again versus, hey, what do you want to do?
I think too, if they hadn't opened with Everyone's, if they had opened with some other older song, whatever, I don't know.
Mercy Falls, probably.
And then they could have put in Victorious. They could have done a Victorious into Tiara's song. They could have done...
although the nice thing is
then they could have
Tiara's song, they do like the reprise of Victorious.
Yeah. So that
so
they could have...
Oh, yeah, you kind of got Victorious.
Maybe
a
little bit.
Maybe you can't...
No, but the point is that they need to throw the Tiara's song in there a little bit more for Exhale to have as much of an emotional punch as it does on the album.
Yeah.
I do love the chorus
what
of
did
Exhale,
I,
though.
What did I think they were going to
do? So they
with?
Could have, like,
no.
not done Everyone's. They could have done some older song. Then they could have thrown Victorious in there. Then they could have waited a couple songs, done a throwback with Tiara's song, waited a couple songs, and then one more song off the second half, maybe. Maybe, like,
right.
Funeral Pyres.
Maybe, like, half of Funeral Pyres, not the
it's
whole
short,
thing.
It's a short one. You could do it.
And then close with Exhale, and then it would have been a more... A full exhalation.
Oh, actually, yeah. What is it? Their previous set list and other shows, they did Everyone's, Tiara's song, Victorious, and Exhale. Like, interspersed.
Maybe they, like, swapped it out for, like...
Yeah, maybe they
stuff.
Just wanted to do some other stuff.
What they probably did is they probably swapped it out for that really old-ass song that from Tommy's first album with them. That they had never played
Like, Taint the Sky? No, they've played Taint the Sky. Oh, no.
They said there was a song
an angel,
that they had
not
never
an
played
angel.
Live with
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They hadn't
so
played it for a while.
That's probably what they did.
Yeah. Which is fine. People were, like, hyped on that song.
Yeah, that was a cool one. That was
Yeah, so Seventh Wonder headlining and Prog Power. That was pretty cool because, I don't know, we saw them. Well, when we saw them, like, play Mercy Falls in its entirety, they were, like, in the middle. Right? They were the third slot.
Yeah,
they were third slot. They just played all of Mercy Falls and then ended with Inner Enemy. So we're like super stoked that they got upgraded to headliner slot.
So Brett, where does Tommy fall into your power rankings of vocalists, specifically at Prog Power?
Should I go through the whole rankings or just Tommy's?
Do we want to do the whole thing
how
tomorrow?
How much is there?
How much is there? All of the clean vocalists.
Let's do the whole thing tomorrow.
Let's do tomorrow, but like, where would you place Tommy in your current power ranks?
I think I can only say a little tidbit that he's very high ranked.
Oh,
high ranked.
How exciting.
Top five?
He is in the top five.
Top three?
He is in the top five.
He's not willing to say more.
Yeah, that's not
let me poke a little bit.
Can't confirm or deny.
Is Sho also in the top five?
No.
Okay.
Okay, well, look out for this. After tomorrow, we'll do the clean vocalist power rank of Prog Power.
Yeah, that's Beyond
20.
Today.
I wish they had played Beyond Today as well.
They did it at the end.
They can't. There's no like female vocalist.
That's true.
That they
that's
brought
true.
With them.
I mean, they made heavy use of the backing track.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
The backing track also seemed off at some points.
Would you say this is the top keyboard player from Prog Power so far?
I would say that you can't make that judgment because we've missed half the podcast.
Yeah.
Yuki.
I can't really.
Top keyboard player.
Yeah, there we go.
Yuki.
I couldn't
He's
hear
amazing.
Him where I was standing.
Neither could
Yuki,
I.
Yuki, actually, I think on the second song, they actually...
They fixed this keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
He
lost power to, like, the bottom keyboard.
Yeah.
What?
I was, yeah, it was...
And then
yeah,
came
no,
back
they
out
had,
and
you, there was like a stage guy
like
fixing
oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They almost fixed it in time too.
Almost.
Yeah.
They had to like improvise a little bit.
But speaking of audio
play
issues,
without keys for a bit.
Orton Ogun.
Yes, there was
everything
a
died.
Guitar solo.
Everything died except for the drums.
Surprise drum solo.
I thought it
yeah.
was like a bit for them to do a drum solo, but like then I looked at the guitarists and they're all still playing like normally their solos. I'm like, oh shit, they fucked up. So
there have not been anywhere near as many sound issues
it's
this
not
year
as
last year.
Bad as last year, yeah.
Last year, my mic issues were rampant.
Oh,
they
yeah.
didn't get the mics sorted until
Fabio was struggling.
Maybe towards the end of day two.
And Anger had a
people were cutting in and out for a solid like
that's
five
crazy.
Sets.
My god.
Mm, wow.
Okay. Well, that about wraps up our day three of Prog Power. Any
yeah.
last thoughts?
Shout out to Paladin.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, shout out to Paladin.
Best
yeah.
end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Seventh Wonder was better, but
Alright, shout outs to Paladin and Seventh Wonder. The new guys and the old veterans of Prog Power.
I could see Paladin stepping up to a better slot. I think they're good enough.
Yeah, no, I would like to see them play
more
Japan
releases.
Soon.
Man with Power should bump them up a little bit. They got that cred now.
That's true.
I think they might.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Alright, sweet. Is that all for tonight?
Well, you know, Stella, we're glad to have you on this one because I had a fan the other day asking about where you were on.
Someone was looking for me?
I'm not going to say what, but this was a thing.
Oh
I'm
my
asking
god.
If you were going to be there. I'm like, well,
maybe.
She got me.
I think I'm kind of okay with being the hard to find person.
The elusive.
Wow,
yeah.
That was like, that was so pretentious.
Yeah, yeah I realized from working on this podcast that I really can't talk to strangers that well, like in person. Like I can talk with you guys, I can talk with folks over Skype and have normal conversations. But when people talk to me in real life, I just sound like a fucking idiot. And then I say, I gotta go. And I just like run.
I mean, I just sound like a fucking idiot. But I don't let that stop me.
But I just run away.
Run away.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you find me at Prog Power, come say hi. If I run away, I am sorry.
It's a compliment.
Oh.
I'll try
my best not to run away.
Stella
but...
and myself will both be wearing Demon Bitch t-shirts tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because
today,
because
you're listening.
Because.
Today.
Because it's the album of the year.
No, because it's
because of the
wizards.
Demons and bitches and wizards.
Demons and bitches and wizards. So, yeah, look for us in our demon bitch shirts because
mine
yeah.
may or may not have
sleeves. Album of the year.
We got Hansi tomorrow, boys.
Yeah, we're gonna try to say hi to Hansi.
He was a guest.
Was a guest on our podcast. So if for fans of Tolkien, check out that episode if you haven't already.
If you're not a fan of Tolkien, why are you not a fan of Tolkien?
Yeah, exactly.
You listen to Power Metal, but you don't like Tolkien?
Yeah,
because you
like,
read stuff that came after Tolkien first and thought Tolkien was derivative of stuff written
of himself?
I mean, that actually happens really commonly in Power Metal. You think stuff...
It's a common thing.
Yeah, it's a common thing. That's
people
okay.
listen to new stuff, or people do new stuff.
And then they don't
stuff,
know the old stuff.
And they aren't aware that the old stuff
existed.
Was old.
Yeah.
So they think the old stuff is derivative of the new stuff.
But that's okay. We're not gatekeeping anyone.
Seinfeld effect.
What?
Seinfeld effect.
Is that what it's called?
It's a similar concept.
So these are words, and I don't know them.
I think we've moved beyond words into the realm of ideas and
okay.
lack
yeah.
of
words. Yeah, ideas and
words.
Images and words, if you must say.
Yep.
Okay.
It's 2:45.
So it's 2:45, and I just have one more thing to say.
What's
say,
that? What might that be?
Say powerful.
Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.